This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. New York Times op-ed columnist Bill Keller returned last week from a three-week trip to Russia. After watching a popular Russian TV talk show whose subject was the possibility of war with Iraq, Keller wrote, "You could fairly sum up the Russian consensus about Iraq this way. In threatening Iraq, President Bush is mainly after cheap oil and probably some cheap votes in the next election. America may pretend to be promoting lofty democratic ideals, but America likes the tyrants who serve its interests. The Bush overtures to the UN are laughably insincere, and whatever happens, it will be bad for Russia and terrible for ordinary Iraqis. America could care less about that." Bill Keller was the New York Times Moscow bureau chief from 1989 to 91. He later served as the paper's foreign editor. Since 2001, he's been a columnist and a senior writer for the Times magazine. I asked him to explain where the Russian government stands on the possibility of America going to war with Iraq.
Russia's official position is strongly opposed, and it matters, among other reasons, because they have a veto on the Security Council at the UN. President Putin says he is not convinced that Saddam represents the kind of threat that America says he is. I think in the end, if America does end up going to war against Iraq, Putin probably will not stand in the way. He's already shown that he's willing to, when it comes down to the final decision, to accommodate American interests. He wants to be a member of the kind of club of civilized countries, and I think that's important for Russia, and he's right in that. And so he's given in to the administration on things like the ABM treaty, on NATO expansion, and I'm sure he would at least not be the kind of sole barrier to an American invasion. His opposition is very popular in Russia. I think the prevailing view there, it was interesting just to step outside of our little self-absorbed world and look at us from somewhere else. I have a kind of long fondness for Russia, so it happens to be a set of bleachers that I like to look at the world from. And there is a deep cynicism among Russians, and I think this is true in much of Europe and much of the Middle East, probably a fair part of Asia, about our motivations. People say that they think it's really about oil. They think that America doesn't really care what the rest of the world thinks. And they think whatever happens is probably going to be bad for Iraq and bad for Russia.
What are Russia's interests in Iraq and the Persian Gulf region?
They have real interests, and I think legitimate interests. Part of the problem is getting the administration to publicly acknowledge this. Russia has very few countries that are willing to buy its manufactured products. They can always sell oil and other minerals and timber and things like that. But to be a developed country, you have to sell things that you make, and there aren't very many customers for the things that Russia makes. Three of them happen to be the countries that we call the Axis of Evil: Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. And Iraq is a big customer for Russia. There's about $4 billion a year in sales, which for Russia is serious money. A lot of that is equipment related to the oil industry. There are a lot of Russians working in the Iraqi oil fields. So that's one big interest. Another is that Russia is a big oil producer itself. And there's a real fear in Russia that if the United States goes in and kind of controls the Iraqi oil flow, we will be strongly tempted to pump a lot of oil out of Iraq to drive down the price so that we can have cheap oil. If we drive down the price of oil, that could have devastating consequences for Russia's economy.
Iraq also owes Russia billions of dollars.
That's right. They have a longstanding debt. There's some considerable argument about whether they would ever collect that with or without Saddam Hussein, but they do have real debts. The administration's public posture on this they haven't really had a public posture on this. I guess my suspicion is that they're saving it as a bargaining chip for somewhere sort of in the end game when they want Russia to either abstain in a Security Council vote or in some other way, stand aside in the event of a military intervention. They will say, in exchange for this, We will promise that you get a place near the front of the line when we pay off the countries that are owed by Iraq.
Now, in addition to the fact that Russia could cast a veto vote in the Security Council, what would be the advantages of having Russia on our side if we do go to war with Iraq?
Well, I think it's highly unlikely that Russia would actually participate in a war with Iraq. I think there's an advantage in having Russia on our side, period. All three of these countries that the administration has put at the top of their list as potential threats to us, they're neighbors and trading partners of Russia. Russia has relationships with them that could be useful to us. Specifically in Iraq, if we go in, the Russians really do know the lay of the land. They have a lot of people who work there. They know the oil industry, for example. In a larger sense, Russia does have all of that oil. And if Iraq changes hands, then probably the nature of OPEC and the nature of the world oil markets, which I do not pretend to be an expert in, but the nature of those markets is going to change. And having Russia as a significant partner in our own future supplies of oil would be extremely useful. And the other thing, which is always worth remembering, is Russia is still I think Senator Biden refers to it as the candy store of candy stores. It is the world's largest repository of material that could be used in making a nuclear weapon. Securing that stuff and preventing it from getting into the hands of a terrorist depends on having a good, cordial, mutually respectful relationship with Russia.
Yeah, in this era where we're certainly very worried about a small nuclear device being used as a terrorist weapon within the United States or against American interests abroad, I'm wondering if during your trip to Russia, if you got a sense that the Russians were worried about rogue nuclear weapons or the use of, radium to create a nuclear weapon, because Russia has so many nuclear weapons that are unaccounted for. Are they worried about this?
Not on this trip, but on an earlier trip in February, I spent quite a bit of time talking to people who deal with these issues in Russia, official people and then Russians. There are a number of think tanks that have largely been subsidized by American foundations to help deal with this issue. And yes, they are concerned. They take the threat of terrorism seriously. I mean, sometimes they're a little facile about, using the war on terror to kind of justify what they're doing in Chechnya. But they do realize that terrorism is a threat that touches them. There are conflicting pressures there. One of them is the nuclear industry in Russia is a fairly powerful constituency, has been for a long time. And under its previous leaders, it did a lot of kind of sub rosa business with Iran, maybe with other places. And they've tended to regard nuclear material as a commodity rather than a threat. I'm told that has changed pretty substantially. Putin and Bush have talked about it. They talked about it in their meeting in Crawford early this year. And I think the Russians take it much more seriously. But there's still a lot of things that slow it down. One of them is the commercial interests. Another one is the just mutual suspicion. We're willing to pay the Russians to put up fences and detectors around bunkers where they keep their weapons and to help them dilute highly enriched uranium so that it can't be used in making a homemade bomb. But that requires access. And on both sides, the militaries on both sides have been reluctant to grant the kind of access that's necessary to really get those programs going.
I don't know if you have a sense of this or not, but President Bush and Putin were getting along pretty well before September 11th, and now they're not seeing eye to eye on Iraq. What do you think that's done to their relationship?
We always slightly overpersonalize our international relations. I think that's a peculiarly American foible. The first President Bush fell madly in love with Mikhail Gorbachev to the point where he was kind of blinded to the fact that Gorbachev was losing it. You know, Bill Clinton had this tempestuous love affair with Boris Yeltsin. The thing that I've kind of liked about the relationship between Bush and Putin is that it's been a much more sober, I mean, literally and figuratively, kind of business-like, pragmatic relationship. It's mostly been one way. The U.S. says, we want to do this, and the Russians, after objecting and objecting and objecting, say, okay. But Russia hasn't, up until September 11th, Russia had not been treated as an irrelevance. They've gotten a much greater say in NATO. We have a new arms control agreement with them, which the Russians very much wanted and liked. So, you know, up until September 11th, the relationships really seemed to be on a kind of surprisingly mature footing. But you can almost see Putin wince now, you know, at the American attitude. There is a kind of, you know, you remember the Lily Tomlin character back in Saturday Night Live, the telephone operator. You know, we don't care, we don't have to, we're the phone company.
Right, Ernestine.
Yeah, Ernestine. I think that's what the Russians hear when George Bush talks. You know, there's a petulance and an impatience. And, you know, I don't sit in the room with the two men, so I don't know how, if at all, it's affected their personal relationship, but it's certainly affected the body language and the tone, and it's affected the way the Russian elites, so the Russian intellectuals and officials and commentators there think about us.
Well, Bill Keller, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
A pleasure.
Bill Keller is an op-ed columnist for the New York Times and a senior writer for the Times magazine. This is Fresh Air.